Good morning. It is my pleasure to introduce to you, in case you are not familiar, our pastor across the street at Compass happens to be Jason Rice. And Jason is here today. He's going to be sort of like a district superintendent, but it will have a different name and all of that as Global's getting all together. But Jason's going to introduce our speaker today, and I hope that you will enjoy.
Thank you very much. So I am Jason Rice. I am the pastor of the Compass, and I get the privilege to serve as the supervising elder for the Global Methodist Church. And what that really means is we're just helping churches make sure that they continue on with the ministry that God's called them to do. And so I just want to read a scripture to you this morning. I'm not going to preach. I know that's hard for a lot of us when we, you know, are called into ministry, but 2 Timothy 4:1 through 2 says this: "In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, gave a charge to all of his pastors. He said, "In a moment's notice, you should be able to preach, pray, and die." We're going to do two of those today, right? We're going to preach and pray. We'll leave the other for later on. I want to introduce to you Charles Arison. Charles comes to us from the Nazarene Church. He was ordained in the Nazarene Church. He'll tell you all of his story later on. He is up for full ordination in the Global Methodist Church. And after today, as long as there's no red flags and fireworks shooting off, or God doesn't send us an angel to change our minds, Pastor Charles is going to be your new pastor. So I'm going to go sit down. Thanks, brother.
Don't run too far. I'm going to use you in a second. So just sit there on the front row a second. It's like, what is he doing? My wife will warn you. Whenever I say, stay there a moment, you may need to run. Let's pray. Dear Father, we commit this time to you. And Lord, as I prepare to give this message today, I ask, Father, that you speak, not I. That the words that I speak and say will bring comfort, will bring encouragement, will bring hope and help for all of us as we begin the days ahead. Father, I ask right now for your spirit to come forth and touch my mouth, but also the ears of each one here, that Lord, they would hear what you have for them. And we ask this now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Esther. Esther chapter 9, starting in verse number 23. It says, "And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and Mordecai had written them, because Hanan the son of the Amagath, and the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and cast Purim, that is, the lot, to consume them and destroy them. And when Esther came before the king by commanded letter, that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should be returned upon his own head, that he and his own sons should be hanged on the gallows, wherein these days Purim were called after the name Pur. Therefore, all these words of this letter, of that which they had seen according to this matter, which had come to them, the Jews ordained and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all that would join themselves unto them, that they should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to the writings, and according to their appointed time every year. And these days should be remembered to be kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed." Today I want to talk to you about traditions. One of the traditions I have is I don't stay put. I'm going to drive your camera person crazy. I promised him that. He hasn't figured out how crazy yet. Traditions are a wonderful thing. We have good traditions. One tradition that in my family is my mom would make sure that every Christmas, the night before, we would open one present. It was always cool. We'd open this present. Me and my brother always expected something cool. Somehow, we always managed to pick the present that had pajamas. I don't know how that took place at the time. I'm still confused because she let us pick sometimes. It's like, how could she manipulate us? Because she did. Into picking that thing. Of course, the reason she did that is because she knew she wanted to take pictures on Christmas morning. And she wanted to make sure that when we look back, that we would remember this tradition, that we did this together on Christmas Eve, and that we had these brand new pajamas. My wife thought that was a great idea, so she started out, and our kids figured it out within the first few years. I'm hoping that means they're smarter than we were. But traditions are a good thing. Tradition is something we do for a reason. There's a reason we do it. In this church, you have a tradition. You have two pulpits here. One for the singing, one for the announcements, and for the proclamation of the word. You're saying something in this tradition. The fact that we believe the word of God going forth has a higher standard. That this means something a little bit more. Does it mean the other parts aren't as important? Yes, they're important. But that tradition is saying something. We put a Christmas tree in the church. Why are we saying? Because we're celebrating something. We're remembering. And traditions can be a good thing. For many times, the tradition that I have followed has always been one to wear a collar. The collar symbolizes that I am a slave to Christ. And that's a tradition I think I've been following for a number of years, and I like, because it reminds me ultimately who my boss is. My boss isn't the presiding elder. My boss isn't the district superintendent. My boss isn't even my wife, but she does come a close second. My boss is God. I serve Jesus first and foremost. Not to mention I've worked as a hospice chaplain, and when you go in with a collar, people know why you're there. And nobody looks and sees you a little dressed up and says, "Hey doc, look at this." Yes, that actually happened before I started wearing a collar. I haven't had that problem since. But I've always liked that, and I've chosen to believe that. The robe and the stole. The robe shows taking on the fact of a priesthood. It's supposed to cover the personality in a sense. That you're not looking at a certain person. You're looking at the role of the priest who gives forth God's word to bring people to God. The stole, the symbol of ministry, is supposed to remind us a yoke, something you wear on your shoulders. But also it's a reminder of the fact that Christ wore a cloth around him, and he went down with that cloth. Thank you. And he washed the feet of his disciples. Well, you notice I didn't take them off.
Yes.
Okay. For me, this is my way of my tradition to show people about Christ. Jason, on the other hand, come here, Jason. We've actually talked about this.
We did.
He didn't know I was going to pull him up here, though.
Preach, brain, die.
Yes. What he wears is like, how many think we look a little different? I'm not talking about the fact that he has hair, which makes me jealous, and I'm going to try to not hold that against you. And I don't. What he wears is his tradition. Because he believes that this is a symbol of being open to everyone. He's trying to be Christ to everyone else in his way, in the way God has called him. You can go sit down now. You can move to the back if you want. I'm done embarrassing you. Probably. So those are some of the good traditions we have. We have good traditions things that we should embrace and hold on to. And as we learn things here, I'm going to learn some of your traditions. And there's, I'm sure you have great things you do here. We want to do those things because they tell something about who we are. They tell something about our history and the history of Selma. Why is this taking place? Why do we have what we have up here? Why do we do these things? There's a reason for them. That's why they're our tradition. But there can be other things that happen. There can also be bad traditions. Bad traditions get us into trouble. Because then we start doing things and they become important, maybe for all the wrong reasons. We find a story in Mark chapter 7. Starting verse number 1, it says, "The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law had come from Jerusalem and gathered around Jesus and saw the disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding the traditions of the elders. And when they come to the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe other traditions, such as washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. And so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, 'Why do your disciples do not live according to the tradition of the elders? Instead, eat food with unclean hands.'" We'll pause there a second and give a little bit of explanation. In our culture, we understand the importance of washing hands. In fact, since COVID, we've really learned the importance of washing hands and keeping things clean. And God had in the Old Testament ceremonial reasons for having people wash their hands and doing things. And they were good. Here's the interesting thing. Being unclean wasn't being sinful unless you entered God's presence and did something. It's kind of like, I don't have a problem if a surgeon's hands are dirty because he just ate fried chicken. But how many believe I want him to wash his hands because before he comes in and has surgery on me? Absolutely. Is there a reason problem with his hands being dirty because he ate chicken? No. Is there a problem with him coming in and having surgery on me without washing him? Absolutely. The problem is, the elders and the Jews in the past have started saying, you know what, we want to make sure that nobody does anything that might be close to being wrong. What happens if you accidentally touch something or do something that's unclean and you come to the temple? We've got to make sure nobody can be unclean. Somebody might watch something on TV that isn't right, so let's destroy all TVs. That's the mentality. Some days I think maybe it might be us. We did, at least in my household. But that's a personal problem, not. The Jews said, well, we need to set up these traditions. See, there was nothing in the Old Testament that said you had to wash your hands every time before you ate. Now, my mom would. My wife would. She gets this thing. You're like, you took out the trash, now you want to come in clean, now you want to cook something? No. Wash your hands. I do, by the way, anyway. She's just making sure to keep me straight. The Jews had set up this tradition because they were trying to do something good. But what the problem was, they made that tradition a law and said, if you don't do it our way, you're not just unclean, you're wicked, you're evil. And they made this law, this tradition, greater than anything that God commanded. Because what we see here in Mark is Jesus goes on. He said, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips and their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their traditions are but rules taught by men. They have let go the commands of God and are holding the traditions of men. He said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commandments of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But I say, but you to say, a man may say to his father and mother, whatever help I might have otherwise received from me is Corban, that is, devoted to God. Then you are no longer to help to do anything for your mother and father. Thus you nullify the word of God by the traditions that you have handed down. And but you do this many things in that you do. The bad traditions we see here is the fact that they'd set up a tradition that actually nullified God's command. They said, in order to be like this, we're going to throw out what the Bible said. So the problem we can have with traditions and things that happen in our churches, and when we take ideas that we think are good and put them above what the Word of God teaches and what God commands. I heard somebody say one time, error is taking any doctrine or attribute of God to an extreme. Someone can take the attribute of God that God is love, and we go to extreme. God loves everybody. You can do whatever you want. God doesn't give a care to however you want. Or you can go to the other side that says, God is a God of justice, and you looked at me funny, so you must be going to hell. Stupid, isn't it? Well, you've all known people like that. Maybe you've worked with them. The company says we need to do this. Therefore, you must do this. Traditions are a good thing, but when they're done in the wrong ways or for the wrong reasons, or when they contradict the Word of God or cause people to do something that are contrary to the Word of God, then they are bad. Jesus said, you are hypocrites. You say, hey, I want to serve God, but what you're doing is lead people away from God. They actually gave people permission to say that, yeah, now you're not my mom, but we're going to pretend here, okay? Mom, I know you need help, but what help I was going to give you, I'm giving to God. It's Corbin, so you're out of luck. And now I don't have to worry about her. She can just die, do whatever she wants. I don't care anymore because it's not my problem. Now, how many think that's honoring your father and mother? No. But we have this tradition. But it's wrong. Condemning people because they didn't wash their hands the right way. Wrong. Jesus would make it very clear, are we following the commands of God? And if our traditions follow the commands of God, they're a good thing. As we read in the book of Esther, they set up a new tradition. God had never commanded Purim to be a ritual or anything they would do. But they had seen God move in a mighty way. They were on the verge of being wiped out as a people. They had set up the gallows to put Mordecai on. They were huge. And everybody's going to see him hung on there. Look what we're going to do to the Jews. And God turned everything around and brought deliverance. And the very man who was going to cause the destruction of you end up hung on the same gallows he had set up for somebody else. And they said, we need to celebrate this. We're going to start a new tradition. And we're going to honor God in this. And to this day, the Jewish faith still participates in Purim to celebrate God's deliverance. In the days and the weeks ahead, God willing, we're going to set up some new traditions, maybe. But then again, we've got some old traditions. Things that you've done for years, and we're going to look at them, and you're going to show them to me, and I'm going to say, that's good. We need it. Yeah, we want to live with that. I don't think we're going to find anything that's along the side of, you know, what the Pharisees did. But if we do, or if I'm doing something, I'm sure Jason will be glad to tell me. We're gonna set that aside. Or I'm going to set that aside. We have an opportunity to go forth as a church. And as I heard somebody say just yesterday in a meeting, we have all these rich traditions and all these great new possibilities that God can do something. And we need to embrace both. Those rich traditions, those things you've had here that you've been doing for years that are great and godly, I want to embrace those things. If there's something that God does and we want to celebrate and we want to try something new, let's do that. But at the end of the day, what do we want to do? We want to obey the commands of God. We want to love God and love people and live how He tells us to live. And when we do that, those traditions will help make us stronger. They will help hold us closer to God. Sometimes we may forget some things. We may forget, maybe again, our moms. But this day comes along once a year. And yeah, it was created by the card company, but who cares? It's like, oh yeah, I need to remember my mom. So I find some sappy card and I give it to her. We weren't done pretending. And all of a sudden, we've created a moment because of a tradition. And those traditions will enrich our lives and make us better. And so as we go forth, I want us to embrace all the godly traditions God's given us, but also I want us to be willing to do for God to do something new also. Because the great thing about God is God transforms people, God brings change, and God does new things. He doesn't throw out the old. What did Jesus say about the law? I didn't come to destroy it, throw it out. I came to fulfill it. What does God hold for us in the future? I don't know. But I do know this. He's given us some rich traditions. And what's the possibility of the future? I don't know. But He's in control. And I'm ready to go that path to whatever it is He has for us. I hope you are too. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we prepare to continue in this worship time, as we sing, Lord, the traditional hymns and the songs and have the time of prayer together, I ask God that You would do something special in us and through us. And Lord, teach us to embrace those good things, to let go of any bad, and be willing to embrace what You have for us in the future. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.